Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 7, the sacrifice performed by Daksha, text number 48. Macharu vacha
Matryam Daksha
Iti Daksha Kavirgyagyam
Iti Daksha Kavirgyagyam
Vajra Rudra Bimarshitam Kichamane Hrishikeshe Saninye Yagya Bhavane Maitreya Vacha. Maitreya said, Iti, thus, Daksha, Daksha, Kavi, being purified in consciousness. Yagyam, the sacrifice. Bhadra, Obadura. Rudra Abhimarshitam. Devastated by Virabhadra. Kichamane, being glorified. Hrishikeshe. Hrishikesh, Lord Vishnu. Saninye, arranged for restarting. Yagyabhavane, the protector of sacrifice. Sri Maitreya said, after Lord Vishnu was glorified by all present, Daksha, his consciousness purified, arranged to begin again the Yagya, which had been devastated by the followers of Lord Shiva. Text 49. Bhagavan Srena Bhagina Savatma Sarava Bhagabuk Adaksha Babasa Avyasa Priyamana Ivanaga. Maitreya continued, my dear sinless Vidura, Lord Vishnu is actually the enjoyer of the results of all sacrifices. Yet, because of his being the supersoul of all living entities, he was satisfied simply with his share of the sacrificial offerings. He therefore addressed Daksha in a pleasing attitude. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita 5:29, it is said, Bhaktaram Jagatapasam, Lord Vishnu or Krishna is the supreme enjoyer of all the results of sacrifices, austerities, and penances. In whatever one may engage, the ultimate goal is Vishnu. If a person does not know that, he is misled. As the supreme personality of Godhead, Vishnu has nothing to demand from anyone. He is self-satisfied, self-sufficient, but he accepts the offerings of Yagya because of his friendly attitude toward all living entities. When his share of the sacrificial results was offered to him, he appeared very pleased. It is said in Bhagavad Gita 9:26, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati. If any devotee offers him even a small leaf or a flower or water, if it is offered with love and affection, the Lord accepts it and is pleased. Although he is self-sufficient and does not need anything from anyone, he accepts such offerings because, as Supersoul, he has such a friendly attitude toward all living entities. Another point here is that he does not encroach upon another's share. In the Yagya, there is a share for the demigods, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, and a share for Lord Vishnu. He is satisfied with his own share and does not encroach upon others. Indirectly, he indicated that he was not satisfied with Daksha's trying to deny Lord Shiva his share. Maitreya addressed Vidura as sinless because Vidura was a pure Vaishnava and never committed any offence to any demigod. Although Vaishnavas accept Lord Vishnu as the supreme, they are not prone to offend demigods. They give the demigods proper respect. Vaishnavas accept Lord Shiva as the best Vaishnava. For a Vaishnava, there is no possibility of offending any demigods, and the demigods are also pleased with the Vaishnava because they are faultless devotees of Lord Vishnu. So I'll just read the translations again. Sri Maitreya said, after Lord Vishnu was glorified by all present, Daksha, his consciousness purified, arranged to begin again the Jagya which had been devastated by the followers of Lord Shiva. Maitreya continued, my dear sinless Vidura, Lord Vishnu is actually the enjoyer of the results of all sacrifices, yet because of his being the super soul of all living entities, he was satisfied simply with his share of the sacrificial offerings. He therefore addressed Daksha in a pleasing attitude. So the first point, of course, here is that we understand that Lord Vishnu, or Krishna, because Lord Vishnu, as described in the Bhagavad Gita, is an expansion of Krishna for looking after the material world. So when Krishna is in the spiritual world, he enjoys pastimes with his different devotees, and when Krishna's in one sense in his office doing some work maintaining the material world, he does not interrupt his enjoying pastimes in the spiritual world, but he expands as Vishnu, and that is his official business, looking after the maintenance, creation, destruction, and all the living entities in this world. So it's a task that Krishna doesn't have to do in the spiritual world. He does that here. So it is Krishna, but it is a different task than what he does in the spiritual world. But they are the same person. Just like at home, the father is the husband of his wife. They have a nice loving relationship. The father of the children, they have a nice loving relationship. But then he goes to work, he may be a high court magistrate, and then he has a very official business, maintaining law and order within society. So that is, when Krishna does that, he is Vishnu and he's within the heart of every living entity. And so he's the perfect person to sit in judgment because he is also the witness. Usually most judges have to try and get some reliable witness. But you can't fool Vishnu because he is also the witness. Vishnu is Krishna. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, everything that is manifest is a manifestation of the energy of the Personality of Godhead. So the spiritual world, that is the energy of the Supreme Lord. The material world, that is the energy of the Supreme Lord. And the living entities, that is the energy of the Supreme Lord. So everything belongs to him because it's actually his own energy. So he is the proprietor of everything, and he is therefore naturally the enjoyer, because no one can claim proprietorship over the energy which belongs to the Personality of Godhead eternally. So it's not a, say, that he's sort of stepped up and claimed something. Like we have problems in this world, everyone is always fighting because someone claims, well, now this is our land. And someone says, well, we had it before you. And then someone says, well, we had it before you. Well, we rightfully took it off you. You weren't doing anything with it. So now it's ours. We're using it better. So they fight, fight, fight. But no one can make a claim over the Lord's energy because no one else can create their own energy. If someone else can, you know, create something else separately, no one can do that. No one has this material energy. Yes, I can create my own universes, I can create my own spiritual world, I can create my own eternal. No one can do anything like that. So no one can argue that he is the supreme enjoyer. So when we perform, therefore everything in creation being the energy of the Lord, all energies are meant to be utilized for the benefit of the, for the pleasure of the personality of Godhead. So in fact, that is what he is doing. Yet, because he is the father, the mother, the creator of everyone and everything, he wants to share his entire opulences in a friendly way with all living entities. So that's very nice. So again, no one can fault him. Oh, you think you're the big enjoyer. Yes, but I'm giving everything to you for your pleasure. Oh, okay. So there's no fault. You know, a lot of people are averse to the concept of God because, oh, it's all yours, isn't it? Yeah, and I have to do what you say, and everything's for your pleasure, everything done your way. But we understand that as the supreme friend, everything is done his way because he wants us to share equally with the enjoyment of all his opulences. So really, you know, there's no fault. It's a very nice position. And no one can imitate him and no one can do what he does. We can't independently enjoy or even exist. So therefore, offering something to the personality of Godhead is called jagya or sacrifice. When we are performing our duty in this world, it's our duty to acknowledge that everything belongs to the personality of Godhead, at least in an official way. You know, so when people get married, the wife is saying, this is my husband, husband's saying, this is my wife. But there's a mantra just after they're thinking like that. Always remember, your wife actually belongs to God. There's a mantra that we say in every wedding. So, so officially, the husband has to at least hear that mantra. Okay, yep, okay, that's the mantra. You know, officially, they have to at least acknowledge that. At least if they officially acknowledge it, that's called jagya or sacrifice. Of course, for one who has bhakti, you know, jagya is not an official business of, you know, making sure that jagya is not an official business. But jagya is actually a permanent state of the heart where one has just a full understanding of how wonderful the personality of Godhead is and how friendly he is, and everything is just being done in a very loving, friendly way, and he's sharing everything. So on the platform of bhakti, one is not doing something officially, like an official jagya, but just naturally, one is always trying to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offering everything to him and enjoying reciprocation from the Personality of Godhead. So jagya, any jagya is done to please Vishnu or Krishna Even Srila Prabhupada says if we worship Kali, so even if we do Kali Puja, Srila Prabhupada mentions that, I think it's the name Hrishikesh, or you know, different names representing the super soul, that, or Keshava, that Keshava has another meaning apart from having beautiful long curly black hair, but it also means the Lord of Brahma and Shiva. So when you call Krishna or Vishnu Keshava, you're acknowledging that he is the Lord of all the demigods. So sometimes the word Keshava is used, and they worship Kali, and they're offering, you know, they sacrifice a goat or different things, and they're eating meats, or, you know, Chandi, I think they want to drink some wine, some liquor, some intoxication. Like that. Even in those yajnas, a yajna is performed for the pleasure of Vishnu. So he is understood to be the ultimate enjoyer of that yajna. Why? As described in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna created the Varnashram system. So all the different duties for those in sattva, rajas, tama, Krishna has created that system, and therefore everyone is following his path. So no matter what level one is given an opportunity in a very friendly way. No one is left out. That, yes, whatever position you're on, Lord Vishnu has made, but you can make a path whereby you can advance and go back to the spiritual world. So everyone is following that path offered by the personality of Godhead. So he is pleased, yes, you're following my path. You're acknowledging the demigods, and ultimately that will lead you to acknowledge the Lord of the demigods. So he's very pleased that they're doing that. And to acknowledge the demigods is actually, sometimes we look down upon people who are demigod worshippers. Oh, you know, we worship Krishna, you know, we're Vaishnavas. But actually, demigod worship is quite a big step up in consciousness. It is recommended. In the fourth chapter of the Gita, Krishna describes there are so many different types of yajnas. Amongst those who worship the demigods, he says they're all approved by me. And Krishna approves them all. It may not be, you know, there may be better forms of worship, to worship the personality of Godhead who's empowering the demigod, but it's actually a proof that if they don't understand the higher principle, at least do that. Do something. Do something which is leading in the right direction. But for those in this world who can appreciate that there are actual subtle beings, intelligent beings, controlling and managing the universe, that's a big step up in consciousness. That's a huge evolutionary leap in understanding. So we shouldn't look at it as, oh, you know, demigod worship. That's very elevated, you know, to have that consciousness. Someone who can't even appreciate the demigods, oh, there's no management, there's, you know, it's all materialistic, it's all, you know, just, you know, the chemicals and the atoms, there's no management, there's no higher power, there's nothing after death. You know, that's a much lower state of consciousness. So demigod worship is actually a very elevated state of consciousness comparatively to millions and millions of humans, what to speak of those who are not even taken a human form of life. So Krishna approves of it. So, for instance, in the Kali worship, you know, they're offering things that people, those in goodness, may not accept, you know, different meats and things like that. But even Kali herself is not accepting those things. Prabhupada says that, you know, they're offering these things to Kali and then they're eating Kali Prasad. They think they're eating Kali Prasad, but actually she doesn't accept them. They're getting some benefit because they're performing yajna. She'll accept that on behalf of Krishna, who also accepts it. But she doesn't have to accept the meats in order to have accepted the yajna. That she distributes to the bhutas, the ghosts and the hobgoblins and that. they eat it. So they're not eating Kali Prasad, they're eating the Prasad of the hobgoblins and the ghosts and the Buddhas. And that. But still, it is accepted by Vishnu. Just like, the government, they open, hotels for intoxication. They open houses where people, for the meth monsters. They've got to get their methadone and their, whatever. So the government accepts that. That doesn't mean to accept it. The government has to go down there and also, get into the meth and the heroin and things like that in order for them to accept it. They accept it, they approve it, because it is, if it's going to help those people in some way to move forward, and it's helpful for keeping law and order within society, then they'll accept it fully. But it doesn't matter, they have to participate in those intoxications or alcohol, what have you. So, Lord Vishnu, he's the enjoyer of all yajnas, all sacrifices and penances. So, as devotees, sometimes we may think, we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're doing this, we're doing all these things, and Krishna likes it when you chant Hare Krishna, but Krishna's not interested in your form of worship. And that can lead to being disrespectful to other persons, both the demigods themselves and those who are following the path of the demigods. We can, one can become disrespectful. Sometimes we can even become disrespectful to the devotees. So in other words, just like one time Srila Prabhupada, when he was in India, they were doing Sankirtan. The local people invited him in. They wanted him to, because it was a very famous temple of Durga, they wanted Prabhupada to come in and pay respects to Durga in the temple. So a few of Srila Prabhupada's followers accompanied him, wondering what he was going to do. How's he going to get out of this one? So Srila Prabhupada offered his obeisances to Durga Devi at that, and gradually came out. And the disciples were a little confused. Srila Prabhupada said, "Just do what I do." So they also offered their obeisances. So when Srila Prabhupada, so he explained when he got out, that when he offered his obeisances, he had his right side to Durga Devi. He said, on our left side is always Sri Radha Krishna, they're always present. In front of us is always Srila Gurudev. And on the right side we're offering respects to others. So as he offered his obeisances, he was offering his obeisances that we all always do to Radha Krishna, always on his left, Gurudev on the right, on the front, to Gurudev on the right. So there was no disrespect. In this way, he didn't want to offend them. They just all enjoyed the chanting. Why end that by then causing offence? which will be talked about, that one event will be talked about. So Srila Prabhupada showed us that, there's no harm in being respectful to the demigods. Here, why should we not be respectful to the demigods when Krishna himself has a very friendly, respectful attitude to the demigods? So this is a very interesting concept in Krishna consciousness, that sometimes, we see here Daksha, there was a sense of self-importance. Because of that sense of self-importance, by material calculations, he considered who was more important, less important, and was even, felt that because of his sense of importance, he had the right to even be disrespectful. So, yet as a demigod, really he's acting on behalf of Lord Vishnu. So, similarly, if we are claim to be Krishna conscious, Krishna is being very friendly to someone, could be a demigod, could be a very fallen soul, could be a new devotee, could be all sorts of different people. Krishna is being very friendly to them, yet we're very Krishna conscious. We have no idea how Krishna wants to behave with that person, and we behave with that person in a totally different way, in a disrespectful way, because we're a big devotee. So sometimes, this is one of the things we see here, in this Daksha Chagya. Daksha saw things from a very materialistic perspective. Devotees never see anything from the perspective of their material considerations. They only see things from the perspective of Krishna consciousness. That if I am aspiring to be a devotee, means that I'm aspiring to represent Krishna and do those things that give Krishna pleasure. So therefore, my only criteria for judging any situation or making any calculation is what would Vishnu or Krishna like have done in this situation? How would Krishna like to, reciprocate with this particular person? Of course, we may not be so elevated to always feel the presence of Krishna or Vishnu, the super soul, to communicate. But the living representative is Srila Prabhupada. So, therefore, in a very simple way, which makes it very easy, we can read Srila Prabhupada's pastimes and we see how he dealt with, demigods, and, devotees, devotees who may have fallen away, devotees who can't follow, new devotees, devotees who struggle, non-devotees. We judge everything. How would Srila Prabhupada treat this particular person? Then my only business is to, treat them in such a way that Prabhupada will be pleased how they're being treated. Ultimately, we cannot override what Krishna has organized for the for any living entity. So what Krishna has arranged for some living entity, we cannot override that. Here, Krishna is described as Yajna Bhavani, and it means the protector of sacrifice. So, especially within ISKCON, this is a Sankirtan Yajna. So Lord Chaitanya is Sankirtan Yajna Bhavani, and his representative is Srila Prabhupada. And that means that they are the protector of the Sankirtan movement. Nothing can happen within ISKCON that is not sanctioned by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if we decide that we shall, it may be for our, according to our material calculations, we may improve our social position, our Vaishnava status, our opportunities, our enjoyment of facility, by somehow undermining another devotee, either within ISKCON or coming to ISKCON, that cannot happen, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Sankirtan Yajna Bhavani, that no person can be treated in any other way other than what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada allow. If we do something according to material calculations, material pride, material aspirations, material motivations, anything, This is, you know, in this Daksha Jagya, we get this sense that we are always protected by Krishna. There was an anomaly in the performance of Jagya, but it's not a free-for-all. It's not like the mature world, where there's so many anomalies, there's no, justice, there's no... Anything to do with the transcendental process is fully maintained by Krishna. And we can take, one of the six principles of surrender is to always feel fully protected by the personality of Godhead. That exactly how Krishna wants you treated, no one can ever override that. So you're fully protected. Everyone knows. Every devotee in ISKCON, right down to the little children, down to the little babies, to the new person who walks in the door, every single person is protected by Krishna, who somehow connects with the Sankirtanjaya. No one can override that. Nor should anyone. And in this Daksha Jagya, we see that Krishna did, in his form of Vishnu, he had to correct a situation. Everything was put right. That Lord Shiva will be only respected and treated in the way that Lord Vishnu should see. And therefore Lord Vishnu, he is personally making sure that the other demigods are getting, everything is being shared like that. So, Srila Prabhupada, because he represents Krishna, or Vishnu, ISKCON is shared for every devotee who comes. Every devotee, can share to their capacity to be able to, receive the blessings of the Sankirtan Jagya. But everything is shared for everyone. And that. No one can actually take priority share of anything. Of course, one may artificially take proprietorship, but that will be adjusted, and that sense of proprietorship sort of excludes one from the transcendental process. So, therefore, another thing we take from this is that, because Lord Vishnu is protecting and maintaining every devotee within the Sankirtan movement and all those who gradually come to take shelter of the Sankirtan movement, we never have to, in order to get something or achieve something on our spiritual path, we never actually have to make any material arrangements. We only have to follow the spiritual path. If someone makes a material arrangement, just hypothetically, sometimes, one may bully someone else or, victimize someone else. That is a symptom, not of advancement or being a big devotee, because sometimes people, we have seen that in ISKCON, that, unfortunately, sometimes we bring our material concepts in. Sometimes one devotee bullies another devotee. It is a symptom that person doesn't understand that that material activity immediately illuminates that that person is not Krishna conscious to that degree. They're not thinking of how Krishna wants to deal with the situation. By taking some material path of attaining something in ISKCON means that that person is not thinking of Krishna's pleasure, but they're actually thinking how I want to deal with this person for my interest. But a person in Krishna consciousness, they think, no matter what happens, I'm not interested in my own happiness, I'm not interested in my own success, my own, prestige, my own facility. My only interest is that in every situation, somehow I represent that Krishna will be the enjoyer of this situation. And, simply speaking, that means that Srila Prabhupada will be the enjoyer and the beneficiary of everything. So that Srila Prabhupada will be pleased. We treat devotees within the movement in such a way that by our activities, no one will ever, be, discouraged within ISKCON. That would be very pleasing, Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada are very pleased that all this devotee, all their dealings are very encouraging for people to be in ISKCON, to take part, to join in, to feel wanted, to feel loved like that. If we acted in such a way that by my behavior I'm somehow discouraging someone, that they don't feel welcome, they feel sad, they feel disturbed, they may even think of leaving, or they lose faith, can I say that I'm a big devotee of Prabhupada? Or that I'm Krishna conscious? No matter what externally I may be doing, running around doing so many things. But it comes back to, our activities in always making sure that Srila Prabhupada is satisfied, that is where the Krishna consciousness lies. By acting in such a way, because Srila Prabhupada and Krishna are so friendly, and in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, he is friendly to all living entities, but especially those who are preaching. You know, anyone who's trying to just, their life is meant to just, in this one lifetime, Srila Prabhupada would say, just give this one lifetime to Krishna. I really like that saying. Just this one life, you had so many lives, just give this one, fully to Krishna, like that. Yeah, just one. It's a real big thing, but he's really good preacher. Just one. So if someone does that, yes, in this lifetime, by the time I leave this body, I will have done everything I can to make this Krishna consciousness movement established and a very attractive place. Then Srila Prabhupada will be very pleased. One, especially because one is taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada, who's the most dear devotee of Krishna, Srimati Radharani Krishna. Once in a day of Brahma, Krishna appears. Once in a day. Very, very rare. He appears just before lunchtime. Generally, just before lunchtime, you want to do the most important thing in the day, do it then. But a lot of things that Krishna did was just before lunchtime. He'd get married just before, married his wife, some big demon, you'd kill him, that time. The most important thing that happens in Krishna's, in Brahma's day, Krishna comes. Nothing above that. So once in a day, of Brahma, Krishna appears. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he only comes after Krishna's appearance. So maximum once in a day of Brahma, he will come. But he doesn't always follow Krishna's appearance, so he may come every so often after Krishna's appearance. So once every couple of days of Brahma, phew, like that. So very rare. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most magnanimous, merciful, most friendly, generous feature of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is maddened with love for Krishna in the mood of Radharani. And sometimes his heart is just overflowing with love and mercy, and he can't help himself. You have love of God. You have love. You catch someone in a good mood, you want something from someone. I used to tell my daughters that, if you want to ask me something, don't ask me for a big favour when I've just sat down to have a meal, or if I've just finished a meal. If I'm just about to go to bed, or I've just woken up. If I've just walked in the door, or if I'm just about to leave. If I'm not well, if I've been working hard. If you really want something, don't ask me at those times. But when a person is in a, if you want, you approach someone in a really good mood. Just like Narasimha Dev. He's just, ripped open, the gizzards of Hiranyakashipu. Got the necklace of blood and gore everywhere. Even the demigods, couldn't approach him. He's fully angry. So if there's a Ugra Nishinga, if there's a little discrepancy, you know, so if you approach someone for a favor, but they're really angry, and you've got some fault, they'll find, oh, you rascal, how dare you come to me like this? So when Lakshmi is with Narasimha, he's 50% pacified after killing him. And when he's with Prahlad, he's fully pacified. So that's why when we sing the Nrisimha Day prayers, you know, sometimes if devotees put the Nrisimha picture in their car, my advice, put a little Prahlad there as well. Put a little Prahlad there. You get, you know. Don't put Ugra Nrisimha there, which is usually what they're doing. Put Prahlad there with the Nrisimha. But if you want to approach someone, so in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna is so merciful. Especially to anyone, what to speak of those who are spreading Krishna consciousness. So of course, because Krishna is so friendly to his devotees, then of course we have to represent Krishna. We're not just, we're representing Krishna, but we have to represent Krishna in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Which is, again, perfectly personified in the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. So how Srila Prabhupada would treat someone, how pleased he would be that they do any little thing. You know, when he was in the, might have been the Bowery or Masculus Gift, somewhere like that. One day, one sort of bum, a bum was like a hobo, you know. Prabhupada used to, he was quite amused by that term, a bum. But he'd been there once before, but then, you know, he went out and then he came back and he came in with some toilet rolls and put them in the little toilet. That was up. And, you know, Prabhupada was very pleased, you know. And, you know, there's that pastime where one very wealthy person, I think Prabhupada might have been in Bombay, he came in, you know, big check, big donation. Prabhupada barely even looked up at the person because the person was very, very proud. You know, Krishna says, anything offered with love I accept. Something offered, you know, proudly and disrespectfully to other devotees and the demigods and what, Krishna is not pleased like that. Oh, who are you? You know, what sort of devotee are you? You know, I'm coming in and I'm making a big, big devotee. So, anyway, Prabhupada didn't really acknowledge much because, you know, he just wanted to let him know, you know, we're after the love, you know, this is not a business. He's representing Vishnu. Vishnu just wants your love, your friendship. What is your money, you know, like these jagyas, what is your money? He's self-sufficient, he's God. You think he'll be pleased? Oh, you know, Vishnu, you got a big check, Vishnu, oh, you know, you're doing well, you're the source of, you know, unlimited opulence, and you know, he's got some money which he stole from you and returning back to you. Oh, you'll be very pleased. He's gained nothing, he's lost nothing. And then, you know, I think it was an elderly lady come in. Somehow she managed to get past all the big devotees. Put a little flower on Prabhupada's desk. Prabhupada was very thankful, you know, gave it, you know, his time. Because, you know, the love and reciprocation. So, in this way, you know, very, very nice instruction by Lord Vishnu that we should always, you know, daksha learned the hard way. In the beginning, I should have treated everyone as Lord Vishnu or Krishna would have treated them. That's actually, you know, the proper behaviour. But I treated them according to my material calculations. And because Krishna is the protector of yajna, I didn't get away with it. And I got punished. So one should always feel very, very safe and protected within ISKCON, you know, under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada. Actually, all one has to do is any little thing, the tiniest little thing, but do it, you know, with love and devotion, without motivation, not pretentiously. Any little offering to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is so kind, he'll be immensely happy with you. And if you have that attitude, you are fully protected to, you know, because, you know, we're preaching in the material world, it's a very dangerous place. One is fully protected and guaranteed all success. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, does anyone have any comments or questions? Krishna is always present, you know, through, Krishna's presence is always there, but, you know, we may feel that, or somehow, you know, I've got these inabilities, I may mess things up, so, or something's going to go wrong, but, you know, Krishna is always present. As when Srila Prabhupada offers his obeisances in the Durga temple, Sri Radha Krishna is always on the left, Guru is always in front, they're never absent. And they're making arrangements for us. So, you know, some arrangement will be made by Krishna that if we're sincere and our desires that we'd like to please Vishnu and Prabhupada, he'll make some arrangement that will give good guidance. It's because we feel that we're very advanced devotees that we feel that our way is sufficient, you know, or that somehow we'll, you know, wing our way through it. You know, pride gets in the way. Here Vidura is described as sinless. Sinless means because the heart is pure, they're not prone to create offences to Vishnu or others. So, you know, we do have within our hearts, we have pride, we have, jealousy, we have envy, we have greed, we have, you know, so many material ambitions. So what happens is that as soon as we make some arrangement to do something, Krishna is giving us some instruction, but we are not hearing, you know, because our heart, there's so much static disturbance in our heart that prevents us from actually taking that direction of Krishna. Despite the facts that are in our heart, you know, if we somehow always just trying to push, those motivations. So what happens? Say we come to a situation. Let's take an ordinary situation just to make it clear. All right? This is one of my favourites. The doorway out there. You can go into the temple room. You can go into the paraphernalia room. You can go up to the prasadam hall. You can go outside. And everyone wants to get through that doorway at once. So it's decision time in the Melbourne temple doorway. Alright, now we've got all these things in our heart, you know, we've got our empty plate, we can hear them singing the Sari Ra prayers, I've got to get upstairs. As we're flying through that door, out comes a pujari laden up with three arti trays for Krishna. And we're just going to go straight with, you know, there's a little gap there, you know, I'll just get through because, you know, I'm sure I can get through, you know. And we sort of try and squeeze through in that pujari, juggling, you know, things like that, you see. So what happens, of course, is that, you know, we can see that what's in our heart is making us totally blind to what we're talking about in class, that here is a situation. How would Vishnu, Krishna, Prabhupada be pleased for my activities? as I'm going through this door, interacting with this pujari? Are we thinking in those terms? No. And if we're not thinking in those terms, then what is our level of Krishna consciousness? You know, we sit and we hear a class, and then, you know, 2 minutes after class, the shard, and we hear the Sarira prayers, and everything is just gone. You know, Krishna consciousness means, so that's the difference between, in one sense, you know, official yajna, where we, you know, okay, I've got to sit down, I was watching the cricket, I was building my house, I was doing so many things, I've got to sit down and do a yajna and just put all that out of my mind and, you know, put Krishna there, at least now, at least for this ceremony, a yajna. Bhakti is a permanent state of the heart at every moment. It's continuous. When it becomes very ecstatic and blissful and pure, you know, become prema bhakti. So, one who is Krishna conscious, in other words, an advanced bhakta or bhaktin, you know, they don't have these great gaps in their Krishna consciousness where they're just acting for, you know, the mind and the senses and literally in completely unconscious to how Vishnu would have them act at that particular situation. This is why we have class, one, to understand what Krishna consciousness is, and then we practice. And practice means we try to, as we go through the entire day, from the time we wake up to the time we take rest, we're thinking in terms of, here is another situation, no matter how, you know, you say it appears inconsequential to anything, but I'm always, 24 hours a day, at every moment, actually supposed to be engaged in this loving relationship with the personality of Godhead. And that's the Prabhupada. That is Krishna consciousness. That's how you can test the bhakti. So, to the degree that, you know, there are big lapses in that, and we realise, oh, good, goodness gracious, I've just acted with that person in a way that's probably wouldn't be pleasing to Krishna, you know, Srila Prabhupada. You know, I've acted to this devotee, you know, nice devotee, even the senior devotee, or, you know, or this new person, you know. Then we can judge. So that's the beauty of Krishna consciousness, is if you, you know, hear, you can understand your level of Krishna consciousness properly and fully. No one has to like give you some certificate. You know, we're doing, you know, one of the difficulties I see is that it's good that we study the scriptures, but we shouldn't be certificate orientated. Oh, I've got my Bhakti Shastri, I've done the, you know, shelter exam and the initiation exam, done the Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Bhava, Bhakti Vedanta, like that, got all the certificates like that. Krishna consciousness, still working on that one. We don't judge our Krishna consciousness by the certificates. You know, I'm Brahman, I have this position, I have this sort of level of prestige, I have so many followers on my Facebook, I must be such a big devotee. None of these. You know, it is the level of your ability to, from morning to night, to be aware of how Krishna is pleased, so the Prabhupada is pleased, that you can judge your level of Krishna consciousness. So if we want to be Krishna conscious, then, you know, it's very easy. Very simple. As simple as, you know, what happens in the doorway in Melbourne. Any other questions? You had a question?
You mentioned that Lord Vishnu is the protector of Yajna.
Yes.
So how does he protect the way this human life treated, how Prabhupada would want him treated, and might have left him with them for something else in the last lesson? How does he protect them?
Well, you know, there are two things that are going on. One, that each devotee is, you know, when we come to Krishna consciousness, Maya's business is to test us that, you know, how sincere we are for this Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so kind, he's distributing Krishna to everyone. Srila Prabhupada is so kind, he's distributing Krishna consciousness to everyone. Durga's business is that she doesn't want that all sorts of rascals come to this movement to cause trouble to personalities like Prabhupada and their followers who are so kind and generous to everyone. So she will, test them. Or you've come to Krishna consciousness. And Durga is thinking, I think you're after position, money, you know, this, that and the other, and you want to come here and bully people and manifest your corporate, you know, prowess and what have you. Durga is thinking like that. And here is Srila Prabhupada, you know, happy to give everyone mercy. You'll come here to give him trouble, and he's moving trouble. So she will, that's her business. Every dham, is covered by and protected by Shiva and Durga. In India, many temples of Narayan, Vishnu, Krishna, close by you'll find a temple of Durga, Durga or Shiva, because they are protectors of the Dharma. And previously, those who worship Shiva and worship Durga within the Dharms related to Vishnu and Narayan, they understood that we're attracted to serve Durga and Shiva. We have that attraction. But what is our service? We're, protecting this Vishnu temple, Narayan temple. These days, they've forgotten that business, so they just worship Shiva Durga, they forget the connection that it has with Lord Narayan. But Durga Devi, Shiva, just like Jagannath Das Babaji, he says, every devotee, they should rise early in the morning and, do the Mangaladi and chant, because Lord Shiva and his followers come to inspect the devotees every morning. Every morning, Durga Shiva, they come to inspect all the devotees. Ah, you think you're a big devotee. You're not a Mangaladi. And not chanting.
So, we don't always take that the devotee leaves it. It's not necessary because that went
to the street. No, so, there are other things going on, So, we're doing our best to encourage everyone and to give the opportunity of Krishna consciousness. We never fail in that. Shiva and Durga are doing their business. That's not our business. They'll make arrangements if someone's a big rascal. Krishna will make arrangements. We have our service. We're making garlands. We're serving prasadam. Let us not be imitation of Shiva and Durga running around, you're not fit, you're not fit to be here, you're not fit, you're a rascal. That's not our service, that's their service. And sometimes that it's Durga and Shiva's kindness to them. So now one time, don't think they're being harsh to them. They're being kind to them and kind to the devotees and kind to all living entities by preventing them from causing serious apparads. Someone's going to come in towards the temple and cause serious... the suffering that they're bringing upon themselves and their families for lifetimes, the curse that they will, have. Out of kindness, all right, let's keep them away. Now, you've done some problem, you have no idea the danger you are in by coming here and causing so much. Out of kindness, we'll keep you away for your advancement as well. Maybe a little punishment, a couple of little slaps. But one time there was someone who was trying to imitate a big devotee. He was chanting with Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, but he was really quite an imposter. And he was offensive to some Vaishnavas, and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he yelled at him, really angry, furious. The whole universe was shaking. Get out of here, I don't want to ever see your face, don't you ever come back. If you do, I'll kill myself. I'll jump in the Ganges. So one may think, yeah, what sort of Vaishnava is that? He's supposed to be very kind. He's angry. He's driving this person away. So that person then went to Śrīla Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura, who was a disciple of you know, Guru Kishore Das Babaji. Oh, please, please, let me, you go and speak to him. I have so much devotion. I want to be a devotee. I've made some mistake like that. So when he went there, when Śrīla Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura went there, Śrīla Guru Kishore Das Babaji said, his devotion is simply an affectation. It's a semblance of devotion. He's not actually, the sincerity of devotion is actually not there. He's begging for devotional service. I want to be with the devotees, I want to serve Krishna. But he said, actually, he detected that devotion is just not present. All there is an artificial semblance. It's just a show. If he did want, actual mercy, then that's a different thing. But it was just a complete show. He said to Śrīla Bhakti, you're a representative of Lord Nityananda, who's supremely merciful. Naturally, your heart will be soft and kind. But you should not, press the cause, for this person. So sometimes, for a person's benefit, if they really come to, they're going to cause a lot of disturbance to the sanctity of the Krishna consciousness movement, it, for their benefit, it's better they're driven away. That's kindness. It's not that every devotee is authorized to make that decision. Oh, I've been here for 6 months, I've been here for a couple of years, I've just taken initiation. That's my new cause. Drive away all the rascals out of the Brahmachari ashram, all the rascals out of the Brahmacharini ashram, keep the grihasthas away, the little kids, what business they have here, And these guests, they're not dressed anyway. Yeah, drag them out, throw them on the... No. That's someone else's service. But, Krishna's very intelligent. As Prabhupada says, he's always at least 2 inches more intelligent than us, as he demonstrated in the pastimes of Mother Yashoda, trying to capture Krishna. So, Prabhupada was asked that question in relationship, and he answered in relationship to Arjuna. Krishna said to Arjuna, I've given you this Krishna consciousness teaching, the Bhagavad Gita. Now you do as you wish to do. So he's indicating it's your free will. Krishna is not going to force him. But Krishna, he's known us for all eternity, over many, many lifetimes. He's followed each and every one of us very closely. And he can anticipate what we're going to do. He anticipated that Arjuna would fight the battle. And he can anticipate what we're going to do. We still have our free will, but he's very intelligent, so he's got a pretty good idea. I don't know that he's ever wrong. So he can give us our free will and at the same time know what we're going to do. Because, when you give someone free will, we only have limited options. It's not like we can do a whole range of things, So with our friend, it's like the little children. Oh, I'm not going to do this for mum and dad. And Charles is 5 years old. Well, there's only so much you do. You got no money, You got no work experience. You got no education. You don't know anyone past the next door neighbour. you're scared to go out the front gate, you know, there's only so much. One of my daughters, she ran, I won't say which one, but one time we had an argument, she decided she was going to run away from home. So my partner was like, you know, going out of her mind. She left the house. I was sort of just sitting on the couch. I was doing some studies and something. My partner's, you know, she's gone. Something happened to her, you know. God, you know, like that. And I said, no. She's too lazy to run away from home. And I said, most likely she'll probably hide behind the shed. But she'll only stay there till dinner time. She'll get hungry and she'll come back. What do you think she did? She hid behind the shed and come in at dinner time. I never even went out the door to look. So she had her free will. Yes, you run. Go. But when it comes dinner time, what are you going to do? And then when you have to walk more than 2 blocks, what are you going to do? So Krishna can anticipate. So the Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah.